Win more listings and sell more listings with Realtor.com's Listing Toolkit. Most agents get their first seller lead within 3 days of activating their account. So get Listing Toolkit at Realtor.com/HousingWire.
HousingWire Daily examines the most compelling mortgage, real estate, and fintech articles reported from the HousingWire newsroom. Each afternoon, the HW Digital team provides our listeners with a deeper look into the stories that are helping move markets forward. Hosted and produced by Alcina Lloyd and Victoria Wickham. And now, here's our host.
Pulled from the hottest topics coming across our news desk, I'm Victoria Wickham, and this is HousingWire Daily. In this episode, HousingWire Digital Media Manager Alcina Lloyd and HW Plus Managing Editor Brenna Nath discuss the biggest topics that came out of the HousingWire newsroom last week, as well as what readers can expect in this month's magazine issue. During the episode, the pair examined the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's recent warning to servicers that it's ramping up enforcement, and discuss April's magazine issue, which focuses on closing. But before we listen, here's a brief word on HousingWire's newest podcast.
Right now, more than ever, the housing industry has been having honest conversations about how race impacts the home buying process. To heighten the discussion, HousingWire is launching Honest Conversations, a new mini podcast series to examine the state of minority home ownership in America. For 8 weeks starting in February, please join HousingWire Daily each Wednesday as we aim to provide listeners with a greater perspective on how race, housing, and wealth intersect and what experts are doing to close the home ownership gap. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to HousingWire's Monday morning cup of coffee. It's a segment of HousingWire's Daily. My name is Alcina Lloyd, and I'm HousingWire's digital media manager. Today, I'm joined with HousingWire's HW Plus and magazine managing editor, Brenna Nath. Good morning, Brenna.
Happy Monday. It's great to be here.
You as well. It's already April, which is so surprising, but here we are, April 4th. So awesome. All right, so thank you everyone for joining us on Facebook Live this Monday. Today we'll be discussing some of the hottest topics that came out of the newsroom last week, as well as this month's magazine, which will focus on closing. Before we dive into that, Brenna, what were some of the topics that caught your eye last week? I mean, between Finance of America becoming the latest lender to make its debut on the New York Stock Exchange, last week's employment gains, and the CFPB reversing pandemic flexibilities and vowing enforcement, a lot did happen in the last week of March. So anything that caught your eye specifically?
Yeah, I would highlight, I think it was the second one in your list that you spotlighted. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they've been, obviously they are the consumer watchdog for consumer protections. We've been closely following them probably for forever. But looking at since the start of pandemic and how they're watching servicers. So we've all been following forbearance numbers and how servicers were going to prepare for those forbearance numbers being so high. What are they going to do when it comes to loss mitigation? How are their call volumes going? Are they prepared for the influx of people calling in? How are they going to respond to that? And so around last year, we did get some wording from FHFA Director Mark Calabria around this. And then now to see updated statements from the CFPB with the new administration. So I would just flag the headline, CFPB reverses pandemic flexibilities, vowing enforcement. So the news last week on the 31st, literally the end of March, they said that they were sending seven of their temporary policies that they put into place originally to protect consumers during the pandemic. Seven of those recessions immediately went into effect on April 1st. With the government agency noting that it intends to exercise the full scope of its supervisory and enforcement authority. So that's something that I think the industry has been closely watching. You have different types of enforcement. You have enforcement from regulation and other types of coverage that you can see around how the CFPB has operated. And so going forward, we'll just be seeing, okay, what does this look like in action? What do these enforcements look like in action? along with, I mean, just after that, that was the 31st. Then you have an article the next day, April 1st, from the CFPB saying that they're warning servicers that unprepared is unacceptable. So right back into that about how they're wrapping up the ramping, very key difference in those words, the enforcement and specifically watching how servicers are managing borrowers coming out of forbearance. So we've been also tracking the monthly forbearance numbers from the MBA. Black Knight also has numbers just to see what those levels are at. I don't have the numbers up right now, but just closely following that data in order to see, okay, where does this stand when it comes to services?
Yeah. So as we talk about all of that, it's another reminder that the Biden administration is really serious about the regulation and enforcing it and making sure that the consumer is first, which is really interesting considering the last administration and what we're seeing in the market due to COVID-19. And so as we talk about forbearance, as we talk about mortgages and people coming out of forbearance and new enforcement regulation, let's talk about this month's magazine, which will focus on closing. There's been a lot of news to come out of the sector relating to closing, but what are some of the stories readers are likely to find in this month's magazine?
So for those who don't know, not only is this episode on a podcast, we also go live. And so I'm holding up the magazine for those who are looking at it live as a beautiful, beautiful cover by our designer, Emily Carpenter. It's very, it catches your eye because it's so vibrant in color. But on it, you have this image of a desk. Our heart behind that was the picture of the closing table is changing. We've always viewed, we meet at the closing table, all the parties come together at the title office and sign the documents. And that physical table changed over the last year. We debated with this cover trying to figure out if there's a way to put like a living room on it or a kitchen table, because the kitchen table, your home, is the new closing office. Mm-hmm. No shocking fact here, but we have 50 states and each state has its own regulations when it comes to what they allow with remote online notarization and e-closings and RON, which different ways of kind of saying the same word. And last year you saw each state either come out with, they either already had permanent legislation, they decided to create temporary authorization of RON, or they fast-tracked regulation and now they do have something that's permanent. So that's a lot of different states with different feelings around what they will and will not allow, with states like California being infamously known for being a lot more restrictive and difficult to get their RON laws passed. So I would first highlight the very first feature, or the main feature of the story that really goes into the future of RON. And some of the quotes that I think are interesting to highlight is, one of the quotes was from Bill Anderson. He's the vice president of government affairs for the National Notary Association in Chatsworth, California. And he says, it's not insurmountable to get permanent RON laws passed over the next few years by states that haven't done so, but there's got to be the will to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And then you have this follow-up quote by him where he says, if the Secretary of State isn't on board, it's hard to get the legislation out of the committee to support any type of permanent remote notary or electronic closing escrow services. So this piece really goes into who's blocking this legislation right now, which mm-hmm. states even completely deviate from the normal. So you have the state like California, where even with right now, maybe it's the Secretary of State that's blocking it in another state, but in California, there's just a lot more there to unpack. And so he goes into depth about, okay, what is happening in California right now? And then I think the other state is somewhere on the East Coast. I don't want to get it wrong, but it's an East Coast state opposite of California that's also kind of having trouble. And then you also have some great commentaries in here. You have everyone, American Land Title Association. They're the association that's looking at RON. They're looking at title. That's their membership base right now. And so you have a commentary from Dan Toom, who's the CEO of that. And she talks about really, she gives a great overview about how the title industry is embracing technology. So she gives it through the lens, like, outside of the feature, here are the roadblocks. She says, here's what we are capable of doing, or here's how we've driven closer to it. And then the last commentary I wanted to highlight is actually from someone within the industry. So you have Patrick Stone, who is the executive chairman and founder of WFG Wilston Financial Group. And he goes into a quote that I think we all might resonate, some boots on the ground people, where he said, RON isn't the miracle answer to all our questions. Mm-hmm. And it goes into like a lot of people are still wishing that they had a higher level of participation in RON offers and they actually didn't get it. So I think you get every kind of side of the spectrum, the state of the industry, what stakeholders think and what boots on the ground people think when it comes to the future of e-closing, which changed drastically over the last year and finally became into like a national spotlight, when in reality, not as many people were thinking about what title could do. The technology was there, but maybe it was in the forefront of a lot of people's minds or thinking.
All right. So all these topics are going to be in this month's magazine, which is a part of our HW Plus subscription service, which is essentially, I'll let you dive a little deeper on that if you want to explain to our listeners who haven't heard of it just yet, what exactly the HW Plus is for us.
Since we're talking about the magazine, I still think there's so much value in getting the physical print magazine. I said it in my ed notes this weekend. It was a long weekend for some people where I still find it sitting down with my cup of coffee, probably drink too many cups, and just going through the magazine and just seeing really content that is unique to the industry. So you have a whole section here by a real estate editor where he interviews different agents across America and goes into what's specifically going in their local market. We do Q&As with some of the top key industry players, doing a deep dive. And then we do a deep dive onto different launches that are happening along with our features. So it's a really like fun, tangible way to look at the news that's going on and maybe take a break from all the digital content we're consuming. So right now I'm kind of a big fan of print to get off my phone a little bit more, but we do have a digital flipbook of this as well. Mm-hmm. And then also wanted to highlight, we actually did just publish on the site today for people who want to go give it a read. Logan Matashami, who is our lead analyst for Housing Wire. We all are following, you know, existing home sales, new home sales, job reports, and you can easily just go look at the numbers. Housing Wire has always had that coverage on the website. Here's what's happened. Here's what estimates were. Here's, is a hit? Is it a miss? Here's a forecast. Here was it compared to last year. But what Logan does is he actually takes that data and says, okay, this is what the data says, but this is how I'm interpreting it. And these are my key takeaways. So for example, for some of these reports, you might be looking to last year and comparing the year over year data from 2021 to 2020. But in reality, 2020 was the height of pandemic. If you're going to March, which right now, and you're looking to the data last year, there's a lot of extra factors that were going on last year that you need to keep in mind if you're looking at year over year data. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of it's pros, some of it's cons, not all of it's saying that you should ignore your over your data because of last year, but you just need to look at into the context of what that means. And so Logan really dives into like, okay, what are the key demographics and factors that are going on in the housing ecosystem right now that we need to pay attention to? You know, we have really strong demographics, we have really high demand with all of these top factors. What does that mean for the potential of Biden's future home buyer tax credit? What does that look like in the market? What does it look like if jobs improves? What does it look like if forbearance numbers start going down? Is there going to be a whole bunch of houses coming to the market? He addresses a lot of the top questions that people are thinking about, and all of his stuff is behind the HW Plus paywall because you're really getting that deeper dive on, I see the reports, I know that, but actually I want this in context of what it means for my industry, especially like the jobs report that goes across America. And he kind of factors in, how does that go into treasury yields? What does that look like for the year from now? Things like that. So I'd highly recommend looking at his stuff. I pointed out different ones. Feel free to send me an email at bnathousingwire.com if you want more information. But those are two that I'd highlight right now, especially because a lot of these reports are coming out that are looking at last year's numbers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to reading that piece as well. I know there's a lot of interesting information. We love having Logan as an HW Plus contributor, but also on our podcast where we feature him time to time again, and our audience loves him. Well, Brenna, I want to say thank you for tuning in, or thanks our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Monday Morning Cup of Coffee. And I want to thank Brenna for joining us once again. For our listeners, I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll be here back on Monday. And until then, make sure you check out Housing Wire Daily, your one-stop shop for all of your Housing Wire and housing news needs. Thank you.
Thanks, Elsina.
Now more than ever, the housing industry is looking to its leaders for answers. That's why each week, the Housing News Podcast invites a new mortgage, fintech, or real estate executive to the show to provide its listeners with more perspective on the announcements and news stories crossing Housing Wire's news desk. Hosted by Sarah Wheeler and produced by Elsina Lloyd, the Housing News Podcast is now available on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and more.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode, and we'll catch everyone back here again tomorrow.